You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer. Welcome to the Australian Finance Podcast.
I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And we're here to give you the tools and knowledge to invest both your time and money better.
If you're new, feel free to jump in with our Starter Pack series that aired in early 2022, or our Shares or ETF mini series.
We've got plenty to share with you in today's episode, but if you want to catch us on socials,
head to Rask Australia on Insta and Twitter.
I'm also found at Kate Campbell AUS on Insta.
And I'm Owen Rask AU on Insta.
Just beware of the fake accounts. We'll never DM you about trading strategies or crypto. And if it sounds a bit weird, it's probably not us.
And just one final heads up before we get into the show. This podcast contains general financial information only. Effie, thank you for taking some time to join me on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Owen. It's been a while since I'm on your show, so it's always good to be invited back.
Yes, yes, it's wonderful to have you here. And we're going to talk about everything from investing, budgeting, saving, maybe even getting some property in this conversation. So it's going to be a bit of everything for everyone, which is wonderful. But basically everyone that listens to the show will know of you. I've seen you on the TV. We've heard you on the podcasts, just all around the traps, and know that you're a wealth of knowledge. You've written books, so much that you do. So I'm hoping we can boil it down into a few icebreakers to kick things off. What's the hardest thing you've ever done to save money?
It's not so much about the money side of things. I think when it comes to saving, I think the hardest thing for most people, and it was for myself right at the beginning, was actually making that change. Because it isn't about, I always say that when it comes to money, it's not about dollars and cents. It's more that the mindset that you have, wanting to make that change. That's really hard to do. Once you do it, it's easy, but it's just making that initial step. And having said that, I mean, if you want an example, my hardest thing was to sell my beloved first car. And I have written about this. It was a red Mazda MX-5. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. My parents did not buy it. I took out a loan, which is probably the worst thing to do. But in hindsight, it's probably the best thing because it forced me to save. It taught me about the reverse of compound interest, and I paid it off in that year. But I actually did sell it in the end because it was expensive to run and basically made some good money out of it, and that really helped me and got me on my way, as well as investing in shares to buy my first property.
Well, that's really interesting. I myself took out a personal loan to buy my first car, and it turned out it was a ute, and I didn't need it because I was studying, and I ended up selling it. I didn't make a profit, but I learned the lesson that it is very expensive when you have a car loan.
It is, and I think a lot more people are looking in that because during COVID, we all kind of bought cars, we didn't want public transport and so on. And it's quite expensive to run a car. So look, it's definitely a tip for young people. If they can get away with not having a car, it's one way to save on costs.
Oh, for sure. And as you said, if you've got a goal of buying a house or something like that in your future, going overseas, you don't want to be paying a car loan back home. So what's one of the easier things that you've done to save money?
Automate it. No brainer. Yep. Automate it. I always treat my investing or saving like a bill. Once you do it, it's out of mind, out of sight, and it's pain-free. So that's a no-brainer, that if you are building up a saving strategy or an investment strategy, you just need to treat it like a subscription. And I always say this, that, you know, when you have subscriptions, we never not miss our Netflix payment or our Stan or whatever your vice is. So if you kind of put that mindset that your investing is a subscription or you're saving, that's the easiest thing to do.
It's like one of those, you know, put the big rocks in the jar first. The first thing that goes in is like, here's my long-term self.
Yeah.
That's the investing.
But it's been hard to do that over the last several years. I mean, when you think about, and we spoke a little bit about this offline before, that the past 3 years or so, we've just been focused on living. We've been focused on how am I going to actually pay the bills? How am I going to put food on the table? And so for a lot of us, you know, saving has just been thrown out the window. And I get that. And I think we need to be a little bit kind with ourselves. That's okay too. But now, you know, hopefully, well, I might be, you know, overstepping the mark here a little bit. But look, you know, the possibility of rate cuts towards the end of the year, we've got all our, you know, indicators coming through and they're being on track. It may be now time to look at that neglected side of our balance sheets and start bringing a bit of love back into building wealth.
One final icebreaker I've got for you is, it seems like I can't get in an Uber these days without some type of investment tip coming to me.
Yeah.
I'm curious of one of the more unlikely places you've got an investment tip or a recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, for sure an Uber driver, a taxi driver, whatever they've got. They've actually sometimes have some great tips. mine was a car salesperson. A friend of mine actually was all over Bitcoin. So telling me, pull it all out of your super and then set up an SMSF and, you know, invest in Bitcoin. The thing is that gets me really upset is that when he said this, you know, Bitcoin was, I think about the beginning of the year, it was like $66 or something like that. And now it's gone through the roof. I've got to go back to him and just see how his portfolio, but I definitely did not do that. So, you know, I still have a bit of problem with the crypto in that what is the underlying asset there? It's hard for me to get my head wrapped around that. But, you know, I love you. I love the enthusiasm. But was the tip.
Yeah, sometimes it's just as important to know what not to invest
in. Yeah, yeah.
We were talking earlier this morning about your schedule, getting up in the morning, presenting on the telly, and then coming to work, you know, 9 to 5 here at InvestSmart.
Yeah.
You do so much and you've educated so many people over so many years. And I'm just curious, like, people see you now and they see you and they're like, well, you know, she can talk about automation, she can talk about investing. But I think we all have this journey with money and people don't always appreciate it just because we're here talking about this. We may not have necessarily come to money in the healthiest way.
Yeah.
And even though we're out here talking to people, maybe we had a different journey and that's defined who we are.
Yeah.
And I think there's often a lot of kind of like smoke and mirrors around some of this stuff. I'm just curious how your journey with money and investing began and how that's taken shape for you.
And that's such a great point, Owen, because I find even now with social platforms, there is so much information and everybody saying, I'm saving thousands, millions, I did this and did that. And it can make you feel like, I'm nowhere near that. I'm not doing as good. So for me, it's like, put all that noise outside. Personal finance is called personal for a reason. It's what you can do for yourself. And I always say, you know, the grass may look green on the other side, but it's probably fake. it's about making the best of what you have. And for me, and I think this is a saying, it's definitely in my book, like, you know, my greatest fear is retiring in a polyester outfit and drinking cask wine. And a lot of people, when I say that to them, they laugh, but there's actually a very serious side to that. I grew up, you know, my parents migrated from Greece. Financial literacy was not something that they were were fortunate to have. I had a mother that was pulled out of school in year two to support her brothers. You know, that's year two. She did not have an education. So they did the best they can. But for me, my fear is that, you know, I'm fortunate. I have a good job here. I'm a journalist. I'm not on a ridiculous, you know, salary in that sense, but I make the best of what I have. I'm not complaining. It's good. But it's all about becoming the best financial version of yourself. So, look, did I do everything right? No, absolutely not. It took me a while to wake up myself. But I love what I do. I mean, you'd have to. I mean, what other crazy person would get up at 4:30 in the morning? And a lot of people think that my main role is Today Show. It's not. I love that platform. I love the Today Show. They do such a great job. But I do have another job as well. I have a few jobs because I love what I do, and I love the different platforms and being able to talk to people on different levels and finding out what's happening here, over here, and versus that and so on. But, you know, I probably had my best tip come from Paul Clitheroe, who's the chairman of InvestSmart. And I remember, you know, getting a job with him, and his tip to me was basically just resonates right now. It's not what you earn that counts. It's what you spend. And I think once I started working in this area, I became basically practicing what I preach as well. But, yeah, you do stuff up. Of course you do. You know, I can go on a spending binge just like the best of them. But for me, it's all about balance as well. If I set up everything, and this is the key thing, and that's why I thought your first question was really good, you know, the hardest part about saving is just doing it. Once that's set up, and once I, you know, have my goals, I have my buckets, I automatically invest and build my wealth. I love super, and if someone at my age, you should. Then I can splurge if I've got that money. I can splurge. I give my permission to splurge. And let's face it, we're not here forever as well.
Yeah. It's that balance. You're so right, isn't it? So people who have followed you over the years will be familiar that you were previously director of InvestSmart, and now you've moved into the business. Each day. Can you tell us about what you do?
Yeah. So I was on the board for 3 years as an independent director, and it was a great opportunity. I loved it. Great mindset on that board, and you could see the business from one side, but then I could also see, I want to roll my sleeves up. I want to get a bit dirty in here. I want to kind of jump into this. And most of my career has been focused on personal finance and more so on home loans, on saving, on everyday items, which I still love. That's the bread and butter. You've got to get that right.
For sure.
If you don't get that right, if you can't budget, then how are you going to move to the next level of actually trying to build wealth? But like I said to you, the past 3 years or so, we haven't been really focusing too much on investing because most households, let's face it, have been juggling 13 rate hikes, trying to just get the basics through, trying to just pay the bills. And it's come at a cost of our long-term wealth. So for me, it was exciting to jump in this role and then revisit, I guess, what I do in the personal finance space, but more so on the investing side. I mean, my ultimate goal would be to see young kids investing at a young age, not in a bank account. I mean, bank accounts have their roles, don't get me wrong, but building wealth, whether it is exchange traded funds, whether, you know, they want to go directly into shares, but just building some wealth. Because I think also with property, it's so expensive. The entry point is harder to get into, but I'm also optimistic. I'm not saying that you can't invest in property. You absolutely can if you start saving and investing as soon as you possibly can, because it's all about, as you would say, timing the market, not timing it. So I'd like that to be more common knowledge. I mean, sitting on the board of director with Extras as well, we do have a great program about Talk Money. It's going through schools. About 260,000 students have gone through that. I would just like, investing to roll off the tongue, like saving on your home loan or make sure if you're checking your car insurance, you're comparing. When it comes to your money, where's the best place? What am I going to get the best deal out of? And make that part of the conversation in investing.
I'd like to talk about property in just a moment, actually, because I know you've got some stories that you can share around this and some strategies. But in terms of investing, if we just confined it to, say, the stock market or ETFs and these types of a thing, what are some simple steps that people can take if they are in that situation where maybe they have neglected it for a little while and they do want to do more?
Yeah. I think it's important to understand the roles that these have. So we talk about, ETFs. Well, what is an ETF? A lot of people still are not sure of that and don't understand it. And that's okay too, because if you don't know something, that would hesitate, you're hesitant to jump into it. So it's always get that knowledge, get that understanding around it. And you can get that at MoneySmart, the government website. InvestSmart's got some great basic information on what are ETFs. But I think reporting season, for me, is a great nudge for a lot of people to kind of take a bit of interest as to what is happening out there in the market. We do have bank accounts, you know, so what does it mean when they're saying billions of profits, dividends are being paid? You may shop at, say, Woolworths and what's happening there. In a lot of cases, it may pay to own the bank than have your money in the bank. Mm. So it's a nice little nudge for me to start thinking, well, hold it, I should be taking a little bit more interest here. I'm spending my money at these places. Is there a better way I can get more bang out of my buck for this?
Mm. I love that curiosity that people have, you know, just scratch it and see what it is out in the investing or finance world and just see where it can take you. I think once it catches on, people kind of become just immersed in, well, what can I do with my money? Even if I've only got, you know, a few thousand dollars, a few hundred dollars, $50, like what can I do with my money?
And right now, I get why you may not want to take that risk. I can understand that when I can get a bank account, say, at 5 or 6%, and that's fine too.
Mm.
But if we're talking rates may go down towards the end of the year, your bank account may not pay that all the time. So this is why it's important to kind of get a bit savvy as to what alternatives you can have other than just cash.
Mm. One of the things that InvestSmart in particular sometimes gets, I'll say, lumped in with, which is this idea of quote-unquote robo-advice, which for some people they probably imagine like a computer that something like a robot like Elon Musk would be making, and it's bopping away on a keyboard. Can you just maybe explain to us the idea of a quote-unquote robo-advisor and what they do? You mentioned the pizza analogy before.
Yeah.
But just in a simple kind of like neat way, how do you explain it to someone that has no idea about any of that stuff?
Yeah, and that's a fair call, because you think when it comes to advice, you've got your financial advisors. And if you can afford that, that's great. I think everyone at least once in their life should see a financial advisor. Mm. I can't wait till we kind of get through a bit of this red tape and just make it a little bit more affordable for everyone.
Yeah, for sure.
Ideally, I'd love to see the initial consultation be a tax deduction, but we're a little way off from that. Then the next step is what you were just saying, a robo-advisor. So it's not really, you know, a computer there talking to you as such. At InvestSmart, what we do have is what we call an investment quiz, officially like a statement of advice. You go in there and basically put, what are you saving for? How long are you saving for? And it matches basically your risk profile to what could be a great portfolio for you.
Mm.
So there is some interaction there is basically, again, it's that nudge to get you thinking, what's your risk appetite? What are you looking for? How long have you got to save? And these are the portfolios that could match that. And then it's up to you if you want to take it or not.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because a lot of people, that's kind of the missing link is a lot of people, we hear people on podcasts or wherever you're consuming information, you hear things like, oh yeah, it's based on your risk profile or your time horizon. You think, those are a lot of like abstract concepts for even finance people to think about, let alone people that didn't study finance. And so to wrap it up in a neat quiz like that, it just makes it a bit more concrete for people. Oh, this is actually what I am. I'm a high growth investor. I'm defensive, or whatever the case may be.
And it gives you those prompters, because you're right, because if I just say to you, what's your risk profile? Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So it gives you those, you know, the questions you need, you answer it, and then it does the work for you. Also, I guess when it comes to investing, it is it's hard to pick that ETF because there is so many. And you just hear that word ETF, but there are so many asset classes that you could be tracking or you know, overseas, international, and so on. So it kind of just narrows it down for you. And, yeah, you could go directly into an ETF. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. Or you can get, like I said, serve me up a pizza pie here with all the little asset classes to give me even greater diversity and not just have one ETF provider.
I know that Kate, who you know, she's a big fan of, you know, if you can limit your choices to three or something like that, a lot of the study seems to suggest that you're going to have a better time of making that decision, because analysis paralysis is a big problem.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the way the finance industry has gone over the last few years has been like, here's 10,000 different things you could invest in, go and pick one.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you scratch your head and you're thinking, oh, wait, which one do I go with first?
And half the time you won't probably do anything.
Yeah, that's,
and that is worse. That fear of jumping in is just as bad as fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And that investor paralysis, oh, it's all too much, I'm just going to stay here. And before you know it, it'll be the end of 2024 and you still haven't jumped in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's why having options like that where it's like, just take a simple quiz and we'll give you some ideas that could suit you, which is just great. Yeah. So you mentioned property before.
Yeah.
Property, we're recording here in Sydney, which is probably like the hotbed for this conversation, but it applies all around Australia. I'm hearing from people from like even regional areas, towns I can't even pronounce, say the same thing.
Yeah.
That getting into the property market is a challenge. How do you think about this? So you've got to talk about this a lot, but just generally, how are you thinking about this right now?
There's no denying that getting into the property market is extremely hard. And here's the risk. You know, for me, property is for savings, just like super. Mm. And Aussies are pretty much, in general, I'm being stereotyping here, not good at saving, but boy, are we good at paying off debt.
Mm.
Which is why property works. And we tend to understand this asset class a lot more. And you know, you're saying, yes, we're here today in Sydney and the median dwelling is what, about 1.2? That's median dwellings. That's a house and unit. I mean, if you're just looking at a house, it's even crazier. Mm. And CoreLogic data shows that they've had consecutive jumps each month in property prices. I think Hobart was one that dipped last month. And then you've got forecasters, and you know, everyone's got a crystal ball, but you know, they're still saying 4 or 5% growth. And in some areas, I'm seeing even more than that because I do have a 23-year-old that's been gazumped twice on property in Canberra, and it's heartbreaking. You know, she's definitely, you know, hasn't come to the bank of mum and dad here. She's just basically taken the most she possibly can as a first home buyer. So for that is, you know, stamp duty concessions. Getting the most on that, jumping in with a 5% deposit on the home guarantee scheme, avoiding lenders' mortgage insurance, buying a one-bedroom dingy apartment. It's definitely not a castle, but your first home wouldn't be. Of course it wouldn't be. And it's a unit, not a house. So I like to be a bit optimistic when it comes to property. Yes, we just said that Sydney was at 1.1 million dwelling, but you're not buying the medium dwelling house. You're probably not buying a house. You may go in as a unit, but then you've got other obstacles as well. You do have strata fees. Now, they've gone up about 20 or 30%. A 5K strata fee is going to lower your borrowing power by about $50,000. You throw in HECS that it was indexed at, what, 7.1 last year. Hopefully that figure, when we get the latest CPI data, will come down to around 4.5, 5. But that's going to drop your borrowing power by about $50,000 on the average salary. If you've got a car loan, that's another 50. You've already lost 150,000 in borrowing power before you even go out. So there are so many obstacles. I get it with people jumping into the property market, but it is taking advantage of what's about, not looking at these headline, you know, average prices. You are not going to buy a place right in the middle of the city. You're probably a unit over a house. There's a 45% premium between house prices and unit prices. So there are ways to get in there. And again, it's that case of research, jumping in if you can tick all those boxes and you can sustain that liability.
You mentioned something off air before, which is a really interesting data point around the difference between young men and women.
Yeah, yeah. And this kind of relates to investing as well. So this data came out from CoreLogic. It was off the back of International Women's Day, and they did some research into property ownership between genders. And they found that Gen Z, so 18 to 29-year-olds, there were about 27% of female ownership in that age bracket, as opposed to men being at 52%. So that's a big gap, isn't it?
Difference.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, things kind of, you know, flatten out over time. But why that was alarming to me, and this applies just in the investment world as well, the sooner you get in, the more you've got time for, you know, for things to compound and so on. The same applies with property. There was a couple of insights and reasons why, so let me break it down. Probably they saw that women's income was a little bit lower in that age bracket as well. And that was probably more to do with the fact that women, and especially in Australia, are the highest educated in the world, but probably going to uni, probably working part-time and so on. So there could be some explanations as to why that income is different. Could be wage gap as well, gender wage gap. But the unfortunate thing here is that if women are buying property later, they miss that growth period earlier on. And the same goes when you're investing. You know, if you jump in earlier, magic of compound interest, dollar cost averaging, if you're saving, little save often and so on.
Mm. It's really interesting because we all want to buy a property, it seems. Mm. Some people don't. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But we all want that as kind of like a way to secure our financial future. It's almost like it's the home, it's the base for your lifestyle, but it can also be the base for your for your money. And as you said, the sooner you can build that base, the more it will grow for you.
And just jumping in on that, you there are so many – I guess this market has been flooded by products and strategies to help people go in there. You know, I can tell you now, you can lay buy a home loan for $10,000. Mm. You can, the government's, federal government's rent to buy scheme, well, that's got so many flaws in it as well. There is nothing really here addressing that supply issue and really just confuses the market even more. Mm. And we know the more complicated you make a product, the less likely it's going to be used.
Mm. How about in terms of, say, someone's in this camp, they're saving for a first home.
Mm-hmm.
Could they be investing?
Yeah, you absolutely could. Again, it comes down to if you've already got a nice sizable cash deposit and you want to jump in, say, at the end of this year or next year, you may not want to invest because of the timeframe's not there. But ideally, you want to be saving in the asset class that you're buying. In that way, if it's going up, so is your investment as well. So for me, I'd be speaking to an expert and maybe looking at a bit of everything. Why not take advantage of saving in your super, the concession or contributions that you make are only taxed at 15%. Why not then get a high online saver account while you still can at 5 to 6%, and then look at an ETF that may have a bit of property in there as well to match the asset class you're buying. Mix and match your strategies so you can shave some of that time frame off saving for a deposit.
I'd like to double click on women and investing really quickly. Mm. What do you think it is, and maybe there's data that you have here at InvestSmart, what do you think it is that sometimes holds women back, in particular, from investing?
We did some. We took a deep dive into our data here, and we found that women have the traits to be a successful investor.
Absolutely.
Research so well. Don't overtrade. I think men were trading 1.9 times more. And, you know, there are lots of research, not just at InvestSmart, that support that, you know, if you do overtrade, it can work against you. Not just the fees of jumping in and out, but also just missing the timing, being out of the market and so on. So we do all that so, so well. Where we may do better is aligning our risk profile, which then goes back to, you know, this quiz that we have at InvestSmart to actually nail what are you really aligned to when it comes to your risk appetite. And probably preferred a conservative portfolio. And I see that too with a lot of women in their super as well.
Yeah.
They're 50 years of age and think, oh my goodness, I'm 50. I've got to go right down to conservative. Well, you've probably got, I hate to say, another 15 years of work ahead of you. I think you could up it a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, speak to an advisor or even your super fund because they've got limited advice that you can talk to. But the data we saw at InvestSmart showed that if you opt for, say, something conservative versus a high growth, that's about a 3% difference. Mm. And on average portfolio, looking at ASX data, which was around the $95,000 mark, you're missing out on $55,000. So it's so important in any, you know, investment that you're going into that you get the asset allocation right. Mm. And the same goes with your portfolios. The same would go, you know, your share fund invests in your super, sorry, invests in shares too. So that's got the same thing, conservative, balance and growth. You've got to get all that right and match it, which is so important.
Yeah, for sure.
To find out, well, what is my risk profile? Who can help me? How can I do this?
Yeah. One of the things that there's a saying that I love, that everyone's a high growth investor until the next market crash.
Yes.
And that particularly applies to the gentleman that may be listening to this, and myself included. We all think it's great and we're going to go for growth and all these things. And then
it's funny,
we miss out on all that compounding when we freak out.
I've veered my kids towards high growth ETFs, and sometimes they love me. Sometimes they purposely think I'm sabotaging them because they say, Mom, what are you in? I go, probably more towards the balance with some high growth, yeah, but yeah. I put the whole lot for you in high growth.
And it's just about knowing that and being aware of that, right? And I think sometimes we fail to zoom out and think, well, my goal is actually in 20 years. So how do I think about that? There's going to be some bumps along the way.
Yeah.
I want to get this right now so that when those bumps come, I'm a bit more comfortable. And I think it's really interesting because a lot of people, when they do those risk profiles, they think it's just a lot of like mystery. It's kind of like a black box. You put your numbers in and there's some really simple versions of them online,
yeah.
but they don't really capture what you're trying to do, which is mm-hmm. how am I actually really going to react when things get a little scary?
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the most important times to stay invested, yeah. which is really yeah. interesting for a yeah. lot of people.
And that's the hard thing because human nature is we want to work the other way around, don't we?
Mm.
When you look at, you know, what happened during COVID, and this is, we've talked about this before, the markets what fell right down to 4,000 points or something, and now what are they, over 7,000?
Yeah, near all-time highs.
And you just think, at that moment, what were you thinking? Instead of, oh, I'll just keep plodding away, putting in slowly, saving little, saving often.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people probably thinking, no, I've got to rip this out because I'm panicking. So it is that if you can kind of not let the fear of the market get to you.
You mentioned basically in a roundabout way, you mentioned like the habits that people have formed a few years ago and how challenging it has been since COVID for people to deal with. Okay, interest rates are really low, now interest rates are high, there was high inflation, there was people's like wage uncertainty. You know, dealing with all of those headlines and those big data points, it actually hit home.
It didn't, but inflation's still high. When you look at the cost of living index, that's hitting at, what, 6.9? So we get this CPI number and that's heading downwards, but that doesn't factor in interest rates, the inflation basket, whereby your cost of living index does. So, you know, I always talk about what's your personal inflation rate and you'll know it, you'll feel it.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've got a mortgage, you're at that 6.9. You're not getting any kind of love when people say, oh, it's moving right in the right direction. If you're a self-funded retiree, owns their home, you're living the financial dream right now.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get back to this cheap money again. Maybe it'll take another pandemic for us to get this cheap money. So I think for a lot of people, what we got to understand that even if your rates do fall down, prior to this pandemic, we had the cash rate go up, we had the cash rate go down. It never kind of stayed in one place. So I don't want to get people's hopes up, or we shouldn't get up our own hopes that, you know,
for sure.
You've always got to be savvy with your money. And I think we have learned some great money lessons out of this that we will continue on moving forward.
And that's kind of where I was going to go with that is maintaining those financial habits is so important. Like even when my mainland vintage cheese is up over $10 at Woolies, and that's my personal CPI indicator, maybe I do have to put that off, you know, every second shop or something like that. But how do we maintain the habit of staying invested and like investing, like actively still investing during these times?
Yeah, I guess for those of us who haven't because our budgets didn't allow, it's going back and looking at those budgets now. I would look at my budget at least twice a year. And we've also got a situation where our household bills are constantly changing. Insurances, unfortunately, continue to go up. So, you know, your home, car and contents insurance, if you've got those, they've probably gone 20 to 30% up. And we'll continue to have, unfortunately, floods, fires and so on. Reinsurance between them is high. So these are bills that are always have room to maneuver. And by that I mean you've got an opportunity to claw back some savings. I guess once you've got your household budget sorted, and that does require a bit of review, your discretionary spending needs to come under the microscope. We're doing a fairly good job on that. It's then, do I have the capacity to start investing? And that's where you need to strike when the iron's hot. That's where you need to set it up and make a choice. Well, where am I going to invest? How am I going to do that? If it is through ETFs, how do I start? And then for those of us who have been doing it all this time, well, that's great. Congratulations. Just make sure you're in the right asset class and you're continuing to do what you're doing.
Yeah, little bits, lots of times, even in these times of uncertainty. People that listen to this show will know that InvestSmart is a sponsor of the program, which is wonderful. And they may also know that RAS recently went into partnership with InvestSmart, which is an absolutely wonderful thing, and I'm delighted. So hopefully we'll see more of each other in the future. But folks can head to the InvestSmart website where they can find this quiz, which I would highly encourage anyone that's watching or listening to this to do that, because this is probably the bit that you've been missing.
Yeah.
I feel like, Effie, a lot of people know that they should invest. They just need a little bit of guidance to say, this is probably the type of thing that you should be looking at. Whereas due to regulations and all this red tape you mentioned, it's been very difficult to do that. Whereas a simple quiz like this can point you in the right direction. So please, if you're listening to this, go and check it out. There will be a link available in the show notes, as well as to learn more about Effie and all the wonderful work that she does. But Effie, I thought I'd maybe end. We started with the icebreakers. Maybe we can end with a bit of fun.
We will. But before we get there, can I just say caught my eye when I came over to InvestSmart? Yes, the statement of advice, the quiz, definitely. Yeah. No brain. I've done that. Doesn't take long. Really good. I also like the fact they've got a boot camp. They've got an investment course, which I really love. Tom and the guys there have done a brilliant job putting that together. Because for me, knowledge is power. So I was excited about that one. And also just the calculators. I'm a big fan of graphics for the Today Show and putting calculators together and so on and graphs. Some great calculators on, okay, I want to save for a house. What does that mean? Or my kids' education. I want to go on a holiday. So they've got some great little tools there. And another one, if you are interested in ETFs and want to see what they're rated, the InvestSmart actually does have an ETF report that you can download for free and get the ratings and performances on that as well. Yes. So there come some of the tools I like on the site.
You know what? There was always Kate Campbell, former employee of InvestSmart, for those of you that don't know. Her and I would often just look through the site and see all the tools that were available that we kind of didn't even know existed. And there's so many wonderful tools. So we've only talked about a couple of them today.
Yeah.
But they're all, like, most of them are freely available. So go and use them and check it out, because it's all been built by a team that's done it for such a long time. It's wonderful. So we'll put links into all of that stuff.
Great. Sorry, you're going to get the fun stuff.
No. That, you got to the important stuff. I'll just keep it with this this game I'd like to play with you, which is just, I've got five things here. It's just a little better buy segment. So what you would rather buy, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So ETFs or direct shares?
Oh, ETFs.
ETFs, okay.
Only because they're easier, but I do have direct shares.
Yes,
as well.
I know you do. Yeah. Yes, great.
I'm torn.
Great. Now you've this is not so much a better buy, but how you would buy it.
Yeah.
So Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Would you buy it monthly or would you pay for the annual package?
Neither. Get rid of it. Don't have subscriptions. They're costing you too much.
Okay.
No. look, monthly sounds cheap. Times it by 12, it kills the yearly. So, you know, you're better off buying yearly. But
Okay, I like it. Now, this is going to maybe invoke some, I guess, parochial, some like local feelings. A Barossa Valley Shiraz or the Mornington Peninsula Pinot. Drink responsibly.
Both.
Okay. Next one. You introduced me to this idea of a bachelor handbag. I didn't know if this was just something you'd made up, but then I realized it was not. So a bachelor handbag is?
That is the chicken at your grocery store.
Yes. Okay.
Chicken
in a bag. So you've got a $10 budget. Yeah. Would you get the bachelor handbag or a lentil shepherd's pie?
Love myself a bachelor, if I have to say so.
Okay. It goes with many things.
But with the bachelor, just wait every 4 hours in some of these supermarkets. They've got to take them off the shelves because they've been on there too long. You'll be able to get it less than $10.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Look at that.
You might get food poisoning.
Just be careful.
Just be careful.
Okay, finally, would you rather go on a 7-day camping holiday or a 3-night major city hotel stay?
Okay, what's the catch?
Well, you could probably fit a longer camping trip.
Is it glamping or is it just a camp?
Yes, let's say you've got a caravan.
Oh, come on, Owen. Of course I'm going to take the city break.
Oh, okay. With kids.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Okay, if we go with kids.
No way. We're going with the kids. Okay. I'm staying home and they can go.
Okay, send them off separately. I like that. So I love this. And I love that you've just demonstrated in this simple little quiz, like, some of the ways you can save money without doing anything different. And if I just go back to the first question, which was the most important, about ETFs versus direct shares, I think more and more people are opening their horizons to having both ETFs and shares in their investment portfolio. And I think there are many wonderful ways to do that. People can head to the InvestSmart website and learn more about both of those things through the bootcamp or just through the free tools that are available. So Effie, this has been heaps of fun. It's always fun when I get to chat to you. So thank you for taking the time out.
Thanks, Owen, and congratulations on the partnership.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast. We hope you learned something new and were able to take one thing away from this episode.
If you're keen to learn more, head on over to RASC Education and take one of our free money and investing courses. You could even become a RASC Core member for less than your Netflix subscription each month. And don't forget to subscribe for new episodes in your inbox every week.
Plus, if you enjoyed the show, we'd love you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and send any questions our way via the link in the description. And before we go on, did this podcast contain personal financial advice just for me?
Absolutely not, Kate. Our podcast actually contains general financial information only. What that means is the information does not take into account your financial needs, goals, objectives, or even your situation. So because of that, it's important that you consider if the information is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on it.
If that all sounds a bit confusing or you're still working out what your needs are, it's a great idea to consult a licensed and trusted financial planner. And don't forget to do your own research.
InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10. And to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that RASC could help you in 2024. As many of you know, RASC has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at RASC, which is the launch of our RASC Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have 3 strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the 3 strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high growth strategy focuses on longer term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number 2, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside RASC Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called RASC Core. Number 3, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 RASC community members have begun the RASC plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number 4, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni, and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian property podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of Rask Core, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax? I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All Rask users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the Rask community uses each and every day. Number eight, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number nine, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the Rask YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the Rask network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the Rask Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we are on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. Rask Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the Rask Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us. because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000. And hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASC and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASC network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.